Blog Talk Radio.
Would you please just stand and
this keeps me going. On those days when I feel like giving up. Fire.
I believe the storm will soon be over. I believe the rain will go away.
I want you to already see yourself out of the storm. The clouds will move. It's time for you to smile again. Come on, Sean.
I believe my family will get better. I believe God will provide.
Father in the gospel and our former presiding bishop. Bishop, you don't have to get up if you don't want to. Okay.
When things are going good,
to pray. When trouble on every hand, you got to lift up your voice and say, Lord, I need you to help me. My soul waited upon the Lord, and I heard David sing. This poor man cried. Have you ever been poor in spirit? Have you ever been down yonder by yourself and you couldn't hear nobody pray? Oh Lord, I love him because he's been so good to me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My God, I feel like preaching. Yay!
Would you please?
Amen, amen. You were listening to a clip on YouTube of Bishop Alfred Singleton. Amen. And that was a song that he opened up with, Are You Willing? I'm willing to go all the way. How many is able to say that today? That they're willing to go all the way. Amen. This man of God, we're just so excited to have this man of God with us on today. I tell you, he's a trailblazer, and he's been preaching and teaching the apostolic gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for over 60 years. Amen. We want to first welcome you to a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministry. I am the founder and the host, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and also our co-host is sitting in, Sister Ruby Larry. Amen. We're, again, excited that God has blessed us with another opportunity to come on this radio broadcast and give him some praise. Today is a special day because this is the day that the Lord has made, and certainly we are rejoicing in it. Amen. We're going to have a live interview with one of our apostolic fathers, and he is none other than the former presiding bishop of the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. And he's still sitting on that board as the senior bishop. He's also the diocesan bishop of the state of Michigan. And we just want to read a little bio on him. And then we have two of his relatives here with us on today that's going to be doing a part one and a part two interview. Amen. I'm also a relative in that bloodline. It's in our DNA. Amen, amen. So we just thank God for what he is doing in the lives of us and also our family. Amen. You know, we all have a rich heritage, and we should be proud of that heritage. Amen. So we're excited about Bishop being with us today. So we're going to read a brief bio, and then we're going to bring on the first interviewee. Amen, amen. And he's no stranger to New Destiny Ministries. He's a man of God that have ministered on this broadcast many of times, and many of our listeners know him well, and that's none other than Bishop Singleton's nephew, and that's Dr. Winston Singleton of Greater Enrichment Ministries of Los Angeles, California. And then the second interviewee is a niece of his, and that's none other, and she has the surname of our family, Glover. That'll be Prophetess Theodora Glover of Dunamis Ministries and Voices of Evangelism, located in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. So she'll do part two. Amen. So we're just excited about what God is going to do. And I tell you, if you want to take your ministry to the next level, and if you want your spiritual walk with God to be anointed and blessed, you can certainly sit at this man of God's feet, and he will certainly share with you the rich history of serving God, the rich history of being dedicated and committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. the bio says Bishop Alfred Singleton was born in Montgomery, Alabama, on October the 18th, 1928. He just celebrated his 85th birthday last year. He is the third oldest of seven children born to the late Willie and Verona Singleton. Bishop was a member of a Methodist church, but he also received Catholic teachings. He received, in his own words, a sporadic education. However, in his later years, he had a tremendous quest for knowledge. After completing his elementary education, he immediately enrolled in Cass Technical High School. After Cass, he went on to attend Southwestern Adult School in Detroit, Michigan. While there in Detroit, he visited the Greater Bethlehem Temple Church on 2238 Clinton Street, which was pastored by the late Bishop Samuel N. Hancock. He was baptized in Jesus' name in March of 1949. Ooh, that was before I was born. And received the Holy Ghost on April 17, 1949. He readily engaged himself in the quest for knowledge by fasting, praying, and learning the apostolic doctrine. He served a tour of duty with the United States Army. Bishop Singleton was stationed at San Antonio, Texas, where he served as an assistant pastor under the leadership of District Elder Walls for almost 2 years. After this, Bishop Singleton matured spiritually under the leadership of the late Bishop Samuel N. Hancock as an assistant pastor in Detroit, Michigan for 4 years. In 1958, God called Bishop Singleton to California, where he arrived, in Los Angeles, he was unaware of what to do or what doors would even be open to him. He started with house-to-house prayer. As a result of his obedience to God's divine will, the doors of the Greater Bethlehem Temple Church were opened there in 1958. And today, his younger brother, Bishop Winston Singleton, who is the father of Dr. Winston Singleton, is still pastoring that church today. He went on to found and organize two churches in that state, Bethlehem Temple Church of Monrovia and the Bethlehem Temple Church of Culver City. In 1961, he was promoted to district elder. He became bishop in 1964 at the young age of 36, one of the youngest in the Pentecostal churches of the apostolic faith. Bishop Singleton served as the diocesan bishop of the state of California, the eastern southern states, and the state of Wisconsin. In 1972, the Lord blessed Bethlehem Temple Church of Lansing, Michigan, with the dynamic leadership of Bishop Alfred Singleton. Since 1974, he has served as the diocesan bishop of the state of Michigan and the treasurer of the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. In March 2000, Bishop was unanimously elected to the seat of the presiding prelate of the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith International Association, where he served until 2008. Bishop Singleton has studied extensively. He took courses at the LaSalle University in Chicago. He holds an honorary doctorate degree in theology and is chief executive coordinator of the Michigan campus of the Midwest Apostolic Bible Church. On March 20, 2011, Bishop installed his son, District Elder Alfred P. Singleton II, as pastor of Bethlehem Temple Church, the Bread House, in Lansing, Michigan, becoming the pastor emeritus while still serving as Diocesan Bishop of the state of Michigan. Bishop Singleton has been preaching for over 60 years. He was married to the late Mother Elizabeth Hawkins Singleton for over 55 years. They are the proud parents of 12 children, Belinda, Aura, Patricia, Alfred II, Terrence, Verona, Deborah, Andrea, Aaron, Camilla, Frank, and Catrice. They have 31 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. After the death of the late Mother Elizabeth Singleton, he was united in holy matrimony to First Lady Antoinette Halton on February 16, 2008, increasing the size of his family with 5 children and 1 grandchild. Bishop Singleton has exhibited a persistent demonstration of leadership par excellence throughout his affiliation with the Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. Guided by principles and tempered by a love for Christ, he has brilliantly brought the PCAF to this frontier with international strategy that has yielded great gain. Amen. So we are certainly honored to have this wonderful man of God with us today. And at this time, we're going to allow his nephew, Dr. Winston Singleton, to greet Bishop. Amen. God bless you, Dr. Singleton.
Amen. Thank you very much, Evangelist Bernard, and to the host and the assistant hostess and all those that are listening from everywhere in the United States and abroad. We give greetings in the precious name of Jesus. This is Dr. Winston Singleton, Jr. I'm here to speak with my uncle, Dr. Alfred Singleton, who is he has placed a profound effect in my life through ministry. Even to this day, I attribute a lot of my influences and how I present myself by this man. In fact, he's so great in my life. There's times I'm talking to people, and I actually try to sound like him. Sometimes he comes out of me. His actual voice comes out of me. So I'm just so excited to have Bishop Singleton here today to speak to us. Alfred Singleton, I'm going to ask a few questions to you because I think that the body of Christ, we need to get an insightful information regarding of what God is calling for, what God has done in the past, and what God is doing in the present, and what God is doing in the future. And if anyone that can explain that or articulate that, I believe that you can. So, and first of all, we want to just say to you, praise the Lord, and it's just so happy to have you on the line. And first of all, what we want to do, the first question I want to ask Bishop Singleton is, I know about you, I know who you are, we're in the same organization, we're in the same family, but men and women out there that don't know you, they've heard of you, the accolades that you have over the years in your career, but I want people to get a chance to know, who is this man? Bishop Alfred Singleton, can you just give us a brief synopsis of who you are as an individual, and then we'll go further asking other questions regarding ministry. But at this time, we want to just give you a little time to express that, to let people know who you are, the man, Bishop
Thank
Alfred
you.
Singleton.
Thank you, Dr. Singleton. I'd like to say praise the Lord and greetings to all of the radio audience out there all over the world because of this magnificent way that we have to communicate today. And to my cousin out there who is the head of this program, I think it's marvelous. I think it's wonderful, Evangelist, that she's extending this broadcast all over the world. And the avenues that are being opened up today is just wonderful. And I'm just grateful to be in the land of the living in this latter time at my age to spread this gospel all over the world. So I'm honored to be here today, Dr. Singleton.
First of all, Bishop Alfred, we know that you come from a illustrious a lineage of preacheteers, pulpiteers, rather. We understand that your background comes from, even though you're apostolic, in terms of belief, but we know that you was influenced in the Methodist faith and one of the Protestant organizations. But the question I want to ask is this, Bishop Singleton, how did that upbringing in that environment profoundly affected you as you moved on in life to where you actually moved into the area and where you are now in terms of ministry?
Well, I think our president, I coined a phrase from him, as he said, Barack Obama, in a more perfect union, evolving into it. And, of course, dealing with my background, basically, as I came from a very religious family, my mother, who was a PK, that is, her father was a presiding elder in the AME church, in which I credit for a lot of my bringing up or teaching about God. And so I'm very grateful to that, and we evolved into a more perfect union. So she always taught me what she knew about God. She was a praying woman, and I'm so grateful for that. My grandfather, he lived a long time. He did a lot of good preaching. The gospel as God gave it to him. And, of course, I don't think we should just stay in one place when there's more light is shining around us. And that's what I left home at 19 years old on my birthday from Montgomery because things were so terrible there, and tried to have a better life for my family when I got married. So I went to Michigan. But all of that would help me so much. My mother taught me that anywhere I am, wherever I am, on New Year's night, get on my knees and thank God for blessing me that year and keeping me from all hurt, harm, and danger. So it was a great asset to my life. I have never been incarcerated, never been handcuffed, have never been put on me because my mother always told me, son, tend to your own business, leave the other fellow's business alone. When you see trouble, go another way. And that had been a great asset to my life. But God dealt with me as a young, I remember as a young baby, so to speak, by preaching something that God did. And that was just part of me seeking for more light. And I found it in Detroit, Michigan. I fell in love with the love of my life, my wife of my youth, and she led me to holiness. And I'm so grateful to God that she did. And she's now in the presence of the Lord. But that is part of a winning. We would say that it was just God. I don't try to be more than what I am. All the accolades and things of that you all have read, and which I take that with a grain of salt, you know. But God have made me what I am. I suffer from dyslexia as I was coming up. That is the vowel, A-E-I-O-U. I couldn't hear the sound. And I could hear my teacher now, Ms. Russell, say, can't you hear the sound? I couldn't hear the sound. Because if you can hear the sound, you can get the spelling, but I couldn't do it. But then I was in the military coming back home, and I was reading a book about Captain Cook, I think if my recollection served me correctly. And he was on an expedition up in the Arctic Circle there, and they had come to a place and they had got lost. And one of the men in the expedition said to him, what are we going to do? We are lost. We don't know where we are and what we're going to do. And, of course, they had become somewhat complexed by the area geographically where they were. And he looked down at him and said, we're going to make a way, a fine one. So I never would let life stop me. That's the reason why I said and testified to the glory of God that what I am, Jesus made me what I am. And I'm saying this for somebody out there, whether you're in the foreign field or wherever you are. We have missions all over. You don't let anything stop you. And the obstruction that's put in your way Move them out of the way. Don't stand there staring at the door that is closed in your face and feel that the world have shut you out, because that's not true. Turn and look at the door that God is opening for you. And that have been, so I took, as Captain Cook said to the man, we're going to make a way, a fine one. I wouldn't take no for an answer. So that's what happened with me. I was very determined to be something in God's kingdom.
Bishop Singleton, I think that's very, in fact, it was leading to the next question I wanted to ask you. And
right.
I know that God took you from a child and made you so that you were able to go deeper into what God wanted you to be, particularly in ministry. I wanted to ask the question, when God began to deal with you in ministry, what was the type of mindset that you had going into that venture of doing God's will through ministry? What was your mission, your passion of mission in ministry?
My passion of ministry and I mission, and I had my hopes and my passion for mission was to serve God and to be humble and to be obedient and to listen to my pastors and those that had to rule over me. And that's why I've been so successful. I had to eat a lot of humble pie and things of that sort, even exalted to positions and accolades was given to me. But if my pastor would tell me to sit down, I would sit down. And now it hurt, but yet it made me what I am today. You can't be a good leader except you be a good follower. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Now, Bishop, and it's so profound, I love about you, one thing I noticed about men that are well seasoned, they don't take a lot to, they don't take a lot to get the point across. So I was looking to hear more, but you said it so profoundly in a few words. I think that's what we need to practice, and not saying a cluster of words, but saying the words that need to be said to meet those demands. And it goes to this next question I want to ask, because we see how God is taking you from being a minister to a pastor, from a pastor to an organizational prelay, and now dealing with now the post-ministerial, we'll say, career, because after so long, you're no longer the presiding bishop, and also now you're a senior pastor, where you have your son taking over with the work that you did. And now you're in another phase. But I want to ask the question is, how do, by your experience, how do God go about transitioning a person? If he's transitioning a person from one area or level to another, how does God work in that area, and how should we, as servants of God, how should we have a mind to allow God to take us to those various levels, knowing that we're still in his will?
Good. I'm glad you asked that question, Doctor. We must find our priorities and know what we are dealing with, and that is we're dealing with God. God knows everything. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, knows our thoughts are far off. And whatever God have for you, it is for you. Nobody can get it. Nobody can stop it if he have it for you. If you have to bring, there is a passage of scripture in the Bible that he overturned until he give it to the rightful owner, you see. But we live in a society, and according to sociology, basically, we are a product of our ancestors, our environment, which is our culture that we are dealing with. That's what we are molded by. But you got to know where you're going, and you can't know where you're going except you understand where you came from. You understand? I have some books in my study, that is the three centuries, four centuries, and it says in that if we don't know where we came from, we will know, we'll constantly to repeat the mistakes in the first one in the future. But if you know where you came from and the mistakes that you made in the first, you won't make those in the second. So you got to get your priority right, that God is God of my life. If he said something, he will stand by it. He can't lie. By two immutable things, he made it impossible to lie. When there was none higher or greater to swear by, he swore by himself, confirmed it with an oath. So whatever God says, you can depend on that. But let us make sure that God said it, Pastor. See, a lot of things people are saying that God said is not true. God do not deny his word. He can't. And we have the Bible is our book that we must go by. So that's the way I looked at life, and there was a lot of mountings, and as I use the term, if you permit me, the humble pie I had to eat, and looked like I wasn't going to get no place with man, and all that, and that's true. But God can work for you. Whatever he have for you, you're going to get it if you stay in his will. See, but I know we are tempted, doctor. We are tempted, just like my son, who's a good man. I'm not the assistant pastor. I'm not a senior pastor. I'm not that. I done been all of that. I don't want to be anything else. I done did it all. You know, I did it all. I was saved when I was 19 years old, 20 years old. And I have been district elder. All that, I don't want to do nothing else. I went out and started churches. I had crusades. You name it. That's why I did all of that. But you have to let God work his will in your life. And that's what I have tried to do. Now, to suffer, yes. Because if you believe what the Bible says, Jesus have not only called us to believe on him, but we have called us to suffer for his name's sake.
It almost
so that's what... What would happen and the obstruction that you take my cousin now this show that we all know
evangelist
she's doing a magnificent job. It's a powerful job, but she had to face opposition. It just didn't come overnight that people out there in radio land over the world that she getting hits from, but she had to be persistent. And, of course, now it is paying off, you see, because this is the new thing, you know, this is the new thing. And, of course, in the apostolic and movement and way back when they threw rotten eggs at our cars and deflated our tires and all that and put us all in the same barrel, sanctified folks, and they were ignorant and they had no sense. And
all right.
That we,
she said, all right.
All right.
So all that, that's what happened years ago. But that's no more. You see, we have arrived, and the institutions that we are dealing with, organized religion, they got a fresh start right after Reconstruction. You know, like Spelman and Morehouse and all of them, they started in the basement. They started in the basement of the churches. So we have come a long ways, but what have happened with us, we changed so many things because we had an untrained ministry. You understand? If you have a textbook, you have something to go by, and the Bible is our textbook.
Wow. Bishop, I'm telling you, I'm definitely enjoying you. I know we got to have you back in the near future. Now, there's one question that I want to ask you, and then I'm going to give it over to Prophetess Glover, and she's got a series to ask you. But I want to just know, and I know this is impromptu, but I know the wisdom that God has given you can do this for me. I would like you to give us five important elements or five important things that one should incorporate in their ministry in these end times. Five important things. That we should incorporate in ministries.
Yeah, well, we are really living in the end time. People don't believe it, but the Lord is coming. And, of course, what is happening, a prophetic prophecy is history told in advance. Do you hear me?
Can you repeat that? Can you repeat that, please, Bishop?
I said prophetic prophecy is history told in advance.
Mm.
Do you hear me?
All right. Yes, sir.
That's what that is. What is happening today is fulfilling what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might not have the sophisticated name from the room of the academia that we are dealing with, but in the last days, the whole earth shall be filled with violence, trouble everywhere. Men going to be marrying men, women going to be married. This is the same thing. You just have a different name, but it's happening. Now we're dealing with the mark of the beast, but it's not time yet, but we're headed that way. We can't buy or sell except they know what you're doing. And the technological advancements that is happening and unfolding in our society, you can see where we're headed for. And it's a very sad thing today because of the condition of our world is getting in. And it's going to get worse. And there's no use talking about being excited about what happened. It is going to, it's in the Bible, you know. So that's one thing. And they shall be eating, drinking, building, buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage. Now, you can't have an economy like that without you having some money and stuff coming in. And that's the way the economy is going to be when the Lord comes. All this is going to be happening. And he's going to come in and slip up on them unaware. But what is happening? Worldliness, Pastor, is taking over. You know, we're not Hollywood. We're not Beverly Hills and all. We're not trying to be like the stars out there. And I want to tell you one thing, and you know I lived in California, but they come few in between, just few. And I have seen people cry that had money and all that. That doesn't give you happiness. So you want to humble yourself because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And you're tempted when you're in training. You know, take like my son. I know he went through a whole lot. That is the devil dealing with his mind, but he should go leave and go somewhere else. And no, but those are the temptations that humans have to deal with when they're walking with God. But if you be faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. And I'll predict to you all today on this program, you ain't said nothing yet. Because there are people out there want God. They're tired of so much playing church. They want something that is genuine, something that is real, that they can live with. People are tired. They're sick. And
come on, Bishop.
I
said, come on,
this is what
preaching.
We need. I'm so excited about my cousin going back down in Louisiana and thing to help those people down there. That's the type of craving that I've had in my ministry. I always want to do something. I don't want nothing somebody else got. I want to do for myself that what God want me to do.
Come on,
and
Bishop.
That's what I did. I was 60-some years old. Lying in my bed, my late wife said, I told her I got to have a crusade. She said, you are an old man. You done waited till then and talk about having a crusade. I said, yes, but I got a burning. And I did have them. I had about three. And it was marvelous down in Alabama. And so those are the things. The church is self-contained. It got the fivefold ministries in the church, you see. Then you got to know where your station for doing what God. You gave some apostles, some prophets, some, and of course, and that's another story. I don't want to get involved with that because they don't believe that. It's just too late now, but it's very sad. But all of the ministries are there because the Bible says it. And there is no private interpretation in the Bible. No one person have a monopoly over interpretation of the Bible. Whatever the book said, says for all. And we got to straighten up and fly right and do the things right if we take God to help us. And this is the type of things over the world. We're going over the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And the book of Philippians, I think it is, chapter 1, the 15th verse, he is the express image of the invisible God. Now, anything invisible, you know, you can't see it. For God is a spirit. But God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself.
Mm.
He is our, Jesus is our example.
Yes.
The invisible God is not our example. We can't even see him.
Mm.
And then they won't say I'm teaching two. I don't teach two God. I teach one God. The word God is an object of worship.
Mm.
That's what God means. And God was in Christ, the man, the anointed one,
all right,
reconciling the world unto himself. And all the judgment God the Father gave to him.
Mm.
And we're going to see Jesus one of these days.
Mm.
So, but you know, we start, it says so many things, and always tell me about I got to have a revelation. Well, I give you one revelation. In the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 16, and chapter 18 and verse 16, Jesus was down in the Syrian Valley, at which I've been there, standing under the shadows of Mount Hermon, and he asked Peter them, he said, who do men say that I am? Other words, what are they saying about me out there? He said, well, some say you are Jeremiah or Elijah or some other prophet.
Woo!
But Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Now, this is a revelation, y'all.
Watch out, Bishop.
This is a revelation. He said, thou art the Christ. You the Son of the living God. He said, Simon by Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed, and that's what a revelation is taking the cover off of something that covered up.
Yeah.
Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say to you, upon this rock, on this foundation, I'm going to build my church. Not our church, this is God's church. And he know what he wants.
Hey.
There's no other baptism that is certified, regardless of how they try to twist it. But the name of Jesus, the blood of bulls and heifers and doves, could not take away the sins of the world. And here we are, dealing with this evolving, more perfect kingdom.
Perfect.
Wow. Because he said in chapter 1 of Ephesians, chapter 1 and 5, he had ordained before the world began that we go have a holy church. But God didn't do that overnight. It took time for Rome to be built. And it took time for the world.
My God.
And that's what's happening today. But a lot of time we got a lot of stuff mixed all up. In the world, by wisdom, they don't know God. They don't know God. They might know something about philosophy and dermatology and all the rest of the ologies, but to know God is life eternal.
Wow.
I'm here.
All right.
I'm going to tell you, this is where my influence comes from you.
Yeah.
Down to the listening to you, inspired by your enthusiasm, your charisma, your anointing. And I'm just so excited that you're on here. And I'm going to tell Evangelist Bernard that we need to have you back soon.
Well,
so, yes, Lord. What do you do?
Hands of Prophetess Glover, she's going to Uncle Alfred. She's going to ask you a few more questions in regard into ministry in the end time. So at this time, I'm giving the hands of Prophetess Glover at this time.
All right.
Yes, Dodie, right, Bishop.
Yes, God bless you.
God bless you, and I want to greet you again to Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and then to also my cousin Dr. Singleton, who's done an excellent job, and then as well greetings to the one and only my uncle Bishop Alfred Singleton. Bishop, this is Dodie, and know that I love you. You're my main man. How are you today?
I know. Love you too, babe.
All right, love you, Bishop. I'm going to hop right in here on a couple of questions. I'm actually floored with all of the wisdom and the knowledge that you've given us so far, but I want to glean on a few things that I think that we will all be able to gain from just a little bit more while we have you. And so I'll start out like this. Being a female, I'm going to start out and allow you as a father who is first naturally a father to your daughters that are given, and then as well a spiritual father, and then also Bishop Emeritus. I'm going to ask you, Bishop, to speak to women in ministry, your daughters in ministry. What can you say to those that are evangelists, those that are ministers, senior pastors, and prophetess in the kingdom now? What is the wisdom that you speak as a father to the daughters? He said, in the last days, my sons and daughters shall prophesy. They shall minister. But what is the wisdom today to women in ministry?
Well, I tell you, the wisdom today is the same as the wisdom from the initial outset of God's word. God's gifts and callings is without repentance. In other words, if God gives you something, you got it. Now, we're hearing today because, as I say, practically all of my contemporaries are gone. And you know how they were against even women preachers. Some don't believe that women could preach. And we have evolving a lot of stuff and change. And the reason why the change came, Dorothy, is because we had an untrained ministry. If we had a textbook ministry, then all of us could be on the same wavelength. But when we started off, you know, and we changed from the telephone was a sin, the radio was a sin, everything was practically sin. Little bow tie, no tie, and things of that sort. So people did what was right in their eyes. But I'm thinking about what Paul, the apostle, said. We are not of the company of them who judges ourselves by ourselves. They that do that is not wise. So we don't want to judge other people by ourselves, but we want to judge according to what the word of God says. Now, God made, he called women, he had elect ladies and all these kinds of things, and all these ministries today is coming out. And I say, if you got it, show the sign. I don't argue with people about whether there's apostles because, and I don't agree, I don't try to beat the fan for it because it's so late and so many people be offended, but that's something else. I don't think God got me here living in this last day for nothing. He got me for a reason. And the thing about it, if we will do what God say, there are, you know, what is a prophet? A prophet is one that did the work of a prophet and did the work of an apostle. And if you got it, you're going to do it. You go around and get churches together. Paul, the apostle, was one, you see. But if you read that 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, if you read that, it tells you. And I love the way that Paul began to illustrate about the resurrection, but he and all of that. But in that passage, he said, that which I'm about to say, I received of the Lord. He said, I received this according to the scriptures. And I think that's really tying it really down. It's according to the scriptures. That Jesus Christ died, he rose from the dead the third day, and so forth and so on. And then he began to say that he was seen of Cephas, and then to the 12, and then to the rest of the apostles. So he just didn't stop there with them, but there was others.
Right.
You see, so your sons and daughters in the last days shall prophesy. Young men shall dream dreams, old men shall see visions, and upon my handmaids and my servant, I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon them. And that's what God is doing today. But we don't want to just talk what God say. We want to live so God can use us to his glory and to his honor. So if you got the good, do it. That's the only thing I say. If you're a prophet, do the work of it.
If you're
a healer, you know, I walk with a cane now too, and a young man. Well, he's not a young man, but a preacher. He looked at me surprised, and I went to a funeral, and he looked at me. He was surprised seeing me with the cane. I told him, "I'm looking for the healer." I said, "That's what." I said, "I'm looking for the healer." Now I believe that. I'm not just saying that to be funny. That's not it. I'm looking for the healer. I feel that the Church of Jesus Christ is self-contained. Mm. Like the five-fold ministries, it got everything in it that is need pertaining to life and godliness. Quote the scriptures. It's there. I mean, you haven't got it, but somebody got it. If we do dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ, and this is the problem. You got people talking but not walking. I use an adage that people, you can't do right till you get right. We got so many folks trying to do right, but they ain't got right. And God said that we must be what? Born again. If you analyze that from a very deep philosophical point of view and study what it's saying, you know. My brother, he's dead now. He was in the military, died in California. But he had two little show dogs. And I think it was two of them. But anyway, it was given to him. And they had vocal cords, had surgery on both of them to stop them from barking. But you know what? When the barking got on the dog, he went through the motion. Now, you couldn't hear the bark from an ordered voice like I'm talking. Yeah. But that takes the barking out of the nature of the dog.
Mm.
So God said we had to be born again. Now, what he's going to deal with our nature.
Mm.
And we start at the elementary stage, the foundation. Then we go on to perfection, dealing with this evolving to a perfect union. That I got that quote from President Barack Obama. And that's what's happening. So that's what we want to do. But if you are a prophetess, if you are a healer, if you're an evangelist, listen, every good gift come from God.
Glory.
Now, I want to tell you something. Now, years ago, they believe that once you messed up, and God forbid, I have lived for Jesus, there's no one can say anything over this country, or out of the country, that I have tried to live the righteous life of God. With you, they're not telling the truth. But what I'm saying, when a person messed up, then they couldn't preach anymore. Well, I don't believe that now. You know why? Because you can't deal with the Levitical priesthood where they had to have a special specimen for the offering that was offered up for sin. And then they could, once they messed up, not right, they could serve, but they couldn't eat. The New Testament doesn't say that. Say, all manner of sin and blaspheming shall be forgiven, the sons of men. Only he who blasphemes, and that word is unbelief, against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him in this world, nor the world to come. What I'm saying, if you can show repentance that God grant them, do all the good you can while you can.
I'm listening
to you stirring up the preaching in. You got it, my daughter, down in Georgia.
Yes.
Are you in Georgia now?
Yes, Bishop, I'm here in Georgia.
All right. Did I help you?
Yes, Bishop, you're good. I'm going to go to the next question. You've hit so many things, and that's actually leading the questions and just lacing and layering what we're saying. But I want you to speak in my next question. I want you to speak to this. What would you say to, this isn't directed to preachers, again, ministers, male or female, but to all of us that are in the gospel, what would you say now is the greatest strength as well as the primary calling of the modern-day preacher today? Because we've seen so many things shift, and that is ecumenically or denominationally as well as spiritually. So right now, Bishop, what should be our central focus as we go out to do the work of the ministry?
Well, you see, in every dispensation, there have been prevailing problems. Now, you take in the 15th chapter of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that I alluded to about Paul.
Right.
Jesus hadn't been dead 1,000 years. But he, in that passage, he had to deal with the resurrection because some of them folks didn't believe in the resurrection. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. One believed in angels and resurrection. The other one did not, you see. So he had that problem prevailing in that day, you see. And every dispensation, we have our problems that we deal with, but God is faithful.
Yes.
What the preachers need to do today is stop lying on God, a lot of them, because the ministry today, that was a time, you know, that was a time in this country I didn't have to pay Social Security and self-employment taxes. We didn't have to do that. We could get into that system or not. But subsequently, when I came from California here, I was in the city. I didn't know they had changed the law, but they knew they had changed the law. And they went back on me for 5 years with an audit. That was fine. And of course, I'm not able to get my Social Security. But what I'm saying is this. Laws is the thing that govern us. And so here we are dealing with things in this day and time for preachers. The thing to build up yourself in the most holy faith is praying and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Fasting.
Yes.
And seeking God. You want His will to be done within your life. And you don't want to dictate to Him, but you want to be obedient to Him. And I guarantee you, you won't go down. I've been saved for almost, nearly 70 years or since 1949, you do the math on it. It's 60-some year, way up there. So, but what I'm saying, whatever God have for you, He got it for you. And I want to tell you, He's able to give you words to speak, like Adrian is going down in Louisiana. He able to give a word to speak that somebody going on their own won't have those words.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was in the lion's den. But, you know, but God was in there with him because God blessed him. So what I'm saying for the day ministry first is know that God have called you. Now, that's another story. When God dealt with me calling me to preach, I couldn't get up and testify like you all. I said to the Lord, if you call me to preach, make me know it in someone else. That is, I had to be convinced. And you know what he did? I was in the military, getting ready to come home, man, working on barracks, doing some plaster work. That's what I did before I went into the military. And I talked to him one-on-one. He looked around and said, "You're a preacher." I said, "I'm not a preacher." He said, "Oh, yes, you are, too." I didn't go nowhere on that. I came home to Detroit on my way to Fort Ord, California. And after service one night, a very spiritual-minded sister I knew of, Pinton. And she intercepted me as I was going out of the church. And I wouldn't tell nobody about that. She said, "The Lord have called you to preach. So I can see it." I said, "Well, sister, you pray for me," and kept walking. Because I didn't want to give her no hand up on it. I wanted God to do it. I didn't even tell my young wife. And I went to Fort Ord, California. I was lying on my bunk. And I was led to go to the PX. And we had to go across this calisthenic thing where we take exercise. I don't know whether I ever got across there or not. Because when I got out in that field, I began to sing. And because you should go out there and pray and sing this song, Jesus Never Fail. And, oh, Lord, the Holy Spirit came down upon me. I began to speak in tongues, and God spoke to me that night. And when I got through speaking in tongues, he took my voice as I'm talking to you with an altered voice. You understand me, English, I'm talking to you. He took my voice and began to talk to me. And he said that you asked me to make you know it and someone else. I had the man on the base to tell you, unsaved man, and then I had the saint to tell you. He said, now I'm telling you, I call you to preach. I call. That's what he was saying through me.
Wow.
And that's the way I had to have my calling. Now, a lot of things I'm saying it now because I want somebody out there in the radio land somewhere to be helped. You understand what I mean? You're not, God doesn't deal with your status in life. You don't have to go to some university to be a preacher. God make universities make doctors and lawyers and teachers and cutthroats and liars, but it takes God to make a
preacher. Woo, glory!
And once he make you a preacher, then you go and get all the stuff that is needed. Like I told my son, I said, now you go get your education. I said, now you can't do like your old man. And he went and got his university degrees and from an accredited university. But that's after God had made him a preacher.
All right.
That's right. So that's what you want to deal with, though. You want, if God told you to do something, do it. Don't do it. Don't worry about what people are saying. Mm. You can be concerned, but do what God wants you to do.
Do what God wants you to do.
And every good and perfect gift. You know where that come from? It come from God.
From God.
Yes, ma'am. The devil don't do it. He's a liar, and the truth is not in it.
Hey.
He's the father of liars. And you got to depend upon God. And I want to tell you all something out there. The devil can assign demons to you, just like God have your guardian angel. You heard that.
Mm-hmm.
The devil can do the same thing. He can assign demons and try to bring you down. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hey.
I know what God can do, and I have lived for him.
Come on,
and I'm ready to die if God wants me. I don't worry about that because I got a home.
Hey.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So I'm elated, and I don't get caught up. If you got it, show some sign. If you say you're a prophet, do it. If you say you're a healer, do it. If you say you're a pastor, do it. If you say you're an evangelist, do it.
Do the work.
Do the work. And there are people got more than one gift. There's people got more than one gift. They've got people who can do the work of evangelists. They can also pastor. So God's been good to me, and I'm telling you, I'm just elated about my nephew and all those, and my brother and all, they're doing a good job, because God doesn't show you what you have to encounter. People saw me with a hole in my head when I resigned from Detroit and went to, and incidentally, we had over 3,000 members, 3,500 members in Detroit when I resigned. And I didn't, because I didn't leave because of that. But
right.
I had a mind, whatever God wanted me to do, I didn't care nothing about the consequence.
Come on, Bishop.
Yeah, I didn't care nothing about the consequence. And people, some folks thought I was crazy. You know, had a salary, the church gave me a salary, bought me a car, I had my own home and all that. But God said go.
And that's
what I did. And the very fact told me to go. The work is still going on. I tell now. 445 Monroe Vista is still going on.
Yes.
And the church of the Beta Bethlehem Temple is still going on.
Amen.
And that is something else, too. You got to know what material you're building with. Give me another scripture here. Paul said there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which was laid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, as a wise man,
master builder. He said that I laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But he said, let every man take heed how he buildeth.
Mm-hmm.
You're building it off. You see, because your work going to be tried. And if it's not built on righteousness, the love of God and his counsel, it's not going to stand. And that's the thing that we're saying. And I kept, when I was presiding, we created the Global Mission. It was the foreign, but we instituted the Global Mission. So we got missions all over the different parts of the world. We got them in the Horn of Africa. We got them in Liberia. We got them down in Manila. We got them in Japan. We're trying to spread the kingdom. Not trying
okay,
to build
now, Bishop,
a financial empire.
Bishop?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you visited any of those areas? And if so, can you describe what the experience was like?
Well, I tell you, my ambassador, who I appointed ambassador, Sister Evangelist Jones, and her husband, and they have preached to 600,000 people in the Horn of Africa, which is Ethiopia. 600,000 folk that's preached to that one time. Ooh. And called Brother the Bishop over there, he's been here, and I have served him here, and course, but we build church. Not Zachariah. He's in Kenya, I think, whatever it is, in whatever. But Zachariah's been here. We made him a bishop. But I haven't been a lot of those places, but I have administered to people, and they have gone in my stead. My wife is going to Kenya in April or May or June this year. She already paid money down. And because Michael Bishop Ford, our assistant presiding, he have paid one of our assistant presiders. They're building a school over there, and they should be finished, what you call it. But they're moving forward. This gospel is spreading. Oh, I've been to Israel. I've been to Greece and all, you know, things like that. And I sailed the islands of the Greek island. But no, I have not ministered to those. But I have had ambassadors and people that have done it under my tenure.
All right, continue, Bishop Dodie.
Okay.
No, Bishop, I'm going with the next question here. You actually alluded to this as you were talking earlier, and I wanted you to really touch bases on it again. And that is, and Bishop, that is knowing now, and well, let me go back and say it like this. You have been one of the examples to us that has been very excellent in establishing ministry and also extending the olive branch to others, though they may not have been a part of the apostolic denomination. You have been very good at giving wisdom and advice and making them feel comfortable in doing the work that should be done. How important do you think it is in this next season that we come together collectively and collaboratively to be able to accomplish the will of God? And I mean that in the way of sharing the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evangelism, missions, and outreach, so that we can build the kingdom of God. How is that important to us in this day?
Well, now, what you're saying, you have asked, it's a very loaded question, but it's very good, because we have evolved into another environment of time, you see. That is that I use the word today, I am a Christian, Inc. Now, I'm apostolic. That's the doctrine that I have. But then if you're apostolic, you're Christian. Mm-hmm. And you're living in a day where people are thirsty and hungry after righteousness. and they that save souls must be wise. And we are trying to help everybody. I have a multicultural church organization here in our church. We have that. We have Hispanics. We have the people from over in Burma and things of that. Of course, they got their own thing now, but they started right here at the Bread House. And what you want to do is people are growing, and they're not fighting Christianity. They say they're Christian. So you want to do like Paul did. That's what I would suggest. You know about Aquila and Priscilla?
Yes.
Ma'am?
Yes, I do, Bishop.
All right. You know what happened to them? Paul took them.
Yes.
She and her husband, they were eloquent in the scriptures, knowing nothing but what was taught to them by John. But Paul and them took them and expounded the word of God to them more perfectly. Do you understand what I'm saying? And still we're
yes,
trying to down everybody and judge everybody, we should try to love everybody. And you do what's right. You show them that way of righteousness and the way of love and the way of Christianity. That's what we need to do today.
Ah.
A good name is better to be chosen than great riches.
Yes.
See, but that's what we need to do, not trying to prove to people that you're better than them and everybody. And God ain't throwing this Holy Ghost on nobody. If they don't want it, they won't get it.
Right.
But you got to want it. The Holy Spirit is the power of God that will
yes.
transform the lives of men and women. And I use a term, it will raise you from a dead lever to living perpendicular on the square with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what the Holy Spirit will do. So we're living in a culture today. Everybody talking about God. Everybody talking about being a Christian. They got medallions hanging around the necks and all these type of things. And like I said to a fellow, I said, "That's a beautiful cross you got there." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, that's a beautiful cross." I said, "I got one too, but I don't wear mine. I bears it."
That's a good one.
Wow. That's always good, Bishop.
Not trying to put anybody down. I'm just teasing, you know.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But that's what you want to deal with, Adrian. You don't want to go down there trying to condemn everybody. Go down there and try to show them the life of Christ.
Thank
and
you
once
right.
you do that, you will make friends, and if you don't make friends, you'll make people that respect you.
All right.
That's what God is talking about. I am a Christian, not by the apostolic. I am a Christian, and a Christian love people.
All right.
A Christian do what's right. That's what a Christian does.
And Bishop, you know, that right there was just heavy right there in itself, and because this is what we have to learn today, and we have to know as ministers of the gospel, the Godspell, as we're ministering to people. He says, "With loving kindness have I drawn them, and you'll know them, yes, by the fruit that they bear, but the Bible says you'll also know them by their love." And so I want to move from there into asking you this, because you've given us so much wisdom. You have so much knowledge, and though not formally, as some would say, seminary trained, God has done so much with you with the wisdom, with the knowledge, and then watch this, just to sheer revelation. I know that, yes, being that you are saved and being that you have the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, depending on, you know, what side of the fence you come from, I want to ask you this in all practicality for this generation and all that are listening. You are an avid reader and a scholar, but being also a God taught in there. what should the young preacher, they're already spirit-filled, but what should they be reading and eating on a daily basis in addition to the Word? How should their study patterns be so that they can do the work that they've been called to do? You spoke of education earlier, and I think formal education is great. But in addition to that, should we be reading documentation, or how should we really study to do this great work?
Well, that's good. I'm a history buff. I love to read. But there's so much knowledge today that it's not no excuse for a person to be illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
That's right, Bishop.
You know, you got not only you got books, you got talking books. You got video books. You got everything. You got Bible where people will read to you. So there is no person to be ignorant today. Now, as I said, that knowledge is a quest that should be inside of us that we want to go forward. My mother, she's going on to meet the Lord now, but she was a reader, and I think I inherited that from her. But I told you about dyslexia that I had to deal with the vowel, A-E-I-O-U, but I passed that. But what I'm saying is you got to have a hunger and thirst for knowledge.
That's it, Bishop. That's
you got to have a hunger. You know, a pastor and a minister, too, if they can do that. I want to know about, and I learned in my craft, to have a knowledge about, basic knowledge about some of everything. I know I talk to people who are a doctor or a psychiatrist or whatever science that we want to deal with. You should know a little something about everything. I have books and books and books and, you know, and I just picked up one the other day I bought back in 96, and I'm not going to get involved in that, but I was somewhat apprehensive by reading it because so many things is parallel in our day that we're in. And I didn't want to get reading that, but I picked it up since there are movies are coming out and historic, you know, dealing with documentaries and things. But that should be one of the basic things is seeking for knowledge and seeking for wisdom. You understand? Because, yeah. You know, Dr. Einstein said when they discovered the nuclear fusion of the atomic bomb, he said, we have got knowledge, but he said we have to get wisdom. Mm. And yeah. That is, wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you have. There's a lot of people who got knowledge, but they haven't got no wisdom, you see. And the nuclear fusion of the atomic energy have kept the world somewhat safe with little walls been popping up. But that terrible power of nuclear fusion, as General MacArthur stood in Tokyo Bay and said that we have come to Armageddon. In other words, walls as used to won't be like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And it have really made a change in the warfare. So what I'm saying is what you want to do is get wisdom. Read books that will build up your holy faith, give you some knowledge about, you know, you don't just read in the Bible, you know. You read about things that it's current. I got books about every kind of thing. Got W.D. Du Bois in there, Abraham Lincoln, you name it. I got all those, you know. And things like that. And I love to find out about things. And that is what I call a balanced education, you know. And because you got so many people going to school, getting a degree, and that's all. But, and to be a professor, that's a good name, and a lot of clout go with it. And doctor, that's a lot of clout, but they don't pay no money to me. What these preachers want, well, they want to make some money. See, the church have got to be a multi-billion-dollar business. And the government is going to get some of the money. See? It's not like it used to be. So that's the reason why they want to, you know, they want to be preachers and want to be somebody big, and they get some money. And you can see they get them preacher suits. You can tell when they get a little money. And they start having the suits made the same way. They have arrived.
But they have arrived. Hallelujah.
Have arrived. But
amen.
You know,
amen.
Let us,
Jody, you have how many? You have another question or so, and then I want to ask Bishop a very important question. I think we need to address, and then we're gonna see if our listeners have any questions. If you have any questions, those that's on the line, hit your number one key on your phone, and I can see that you have a question. Amen. So, Doty, go right ahead.
No, we're actually good. Bishop, I'm going to give it back to Adrian. I want you to close on this note, and then Adrian is going to take it from here. But the only thing I wanted you to do, if you would, it just came up in my spirit, is that whether you do it in one statement or however God leads you, Bishop, what can you do, what can you say today that would be the main focus that we could use to keep our faith in God encouraged to walk with him? We walk by faith, and you've been walking with him by faith for 60-some-odd years. But to everybody else who's traveling this road and doing the work, what can you speak to us concerning our faith in God and how we can continue to walk with him and do the work?
Good question, Lodi. Good question. You know, I tend to say this, and I have said it more than once. It makes me want to weep when I look at the condition that is prevailing in this world today. Because, number one, I believe what the Bible says.
Mm.
Number two, it is coming to pass.
Yes.
Number three, God is not arguing with nobody.
Oh, wow.
But his word is coming to pass. And the Lord is coming, y'all. Out there. Now they can get tied up in all this other stuff. And there's two things in the Bible, 12th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. It said, prepare your stuff for moving.
Yes.
Then
Jesus
came along and said, stuff and things, all these things, is nothing. So there's no equal, they equal nothing. Stuff and things equal nothing. You ain't got nothing. And life is like the wind. You can chase it, but you can't catch it. And so when you deal with the day, you got to pray, Dodie.
Yes.
That prayer is a sincere desire of one's heart. You got to keep build up yourself in the most holy faith.
Jesus.
Because your adversary, the devil, the enemy of our soul, the deceiver, you see, you can't beat him running. I can't beat him running, but we can resist him. And he'll flee from us. But you got to have power. And that power comes through prayer, fasting, and seeking God and reading good material to build up your most holy faith. And the Bible is the word of God. So that's the way you keep yourself. Listen, God has never left himself without a witness. Somebody going to serve God. Whether it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whether it's Daniel and the lion's den, whether it's Joseph, and every once in a while in that 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. But it said every once in a while, said, but God was with Joseph. But God was, he was in the dungeon, but it said, but God was with Joseph. His brothers wanted to kill him. God wouldn't let that happen. He was the son, and was the baby boy with a coat of many colors. But he and I think what have happened here with Mandela, he overcame evil with good. That's a Christian doctrine. And therefore, South Africa is saved from a bloody running in the streets. So
amen,
that's
amen.
What you have. You got to pray. You got to read your word and pray and seek God for his goodness. And don't stop. You talk about the Methodist Church when I came, but I didn't stop.
Mm.
You got to keep on going. You want to stop when the Bible says stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And don't judge somebody else by yourself.
Ah!
You don't want to be in that company. If you do, that's not wise.
That's not wise.
But Paul said, I have no other judge to judge but what we have, talking about the Bible, the Word of God. So that's what I would suggest to you, Dodie. You pray, daughter. And Uncle Alfred is praying for you all.
Amen,
thank
amen.
You. Well, Bishop,
a prayer for the house of faith.
Into our
God have never left himself without a witness. Don't care where you are. Somebody going to serve God.
Amen, amen. Well, Bishop, we're going to shift a little bit. Thank you, Prophetess Glover and Dr. Singleton. We're going to shift a little bit and open up the lines and see if I ask those that have questions to hit your number one key on your cell phones. And that's something I want to ask two questions here. We know that there were no social media and online church presence when you began pastoring. And even when you were the presiding bishop, so many things has changed. And you know, people spend more time on their cell phones and their computer than they do watching TV now. So what changes did you have to make when this occurred as the presiding bishop when you were presiding over that organization? Were you all able to establish online media and YouTube and, you know, begin to broadcast on stream to attract souls into the kingdom?
Well, what is happening, evangelist, all of this is doing just what I stated from the initial outset, evolving into a more perfect union. I coined that phrase from our president, Barack Obama. He said, there's a lot of inequities within our system. You understand what I mean? But you can't say we haven't made progress. And we are making progress. So what you're asking, we didn't have what we have today. That's why I said the Lord is coming. And he can get our minds in a place. Don't look like I've been here 40-some years in Michigan, back here. But I have. Time is winding up, Adrian. And what is happening is we didn't have the screaming. We didn't have this. We used to tell the folk by the cell phone, please make sure you cut your cell phones off in church. Then sometimes one would ring. I say, I'm going to play like I don't hear that.
Nah.
Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the way it evolved. Then it got so dealing with your Texan. Then you got the people back in the back. They don't have to go up front and disturb nobody that they want to talk to. They're sitting right back there having a conversation. This is our thing that's changing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a society that is changing. What we are doing now, you would have to pay for it for somebody to hear you talking on a program. Now, you way over, you don't know how many except people call in and let you know, right? Send you a letter from where they are, then you know where you're sitting. But this thing is spreading. This gospel will be preached in all the world.
I say it all the time.
For a what? For a witness. Not everybody going to accept it. But doing it for a witness. And then the end is coming. Thank you, Jesus. So that's
amen.
The thing that
now, Bishop, one more, and that's, I'm going to ask you this last question, and then we'll pull some questions from our audience. We know the atmosphere and the laws have changed drastically, and, you know, we know what we're living. And they have legalized many activities that the church is against, in particular
How does a bishop and a pastor deal with homosexuality in the church? And do you fear losing your nonprofit tax exempt if you don't embrace this inclusion and support this alternative lifestyle? And, you know, we're at risk now where you can be sued or, you know, they protest against, you know, this lifestyle that they want to live. And if you speak against that, then you can lose your tax-exempt status.
Well, you want me to talk now?
Go right ahead, Bishop.
Number one, evangelist, is the Word of God is our guideline as a Christian. We are not politicians. And, of course, there are some that get upset with Barack Obama because of him doing what? Well, Barack Obama is the president of the United States, and I was blessed to be there looking at him in the blue section when he did his inaugural speech.
The first one.
And I was there when he laid his hand upon the Bible looking at him. He swore to uphold the laws of the United States Constitution, not the Bible.
Okay.
He wouldn't be just if he didn't uphold the laws of the United States. They would impeach him. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But thing about it, for me being a preacher, and you brought something in by what the law says, and we would lose our 501c status or whatever it is you're going to do. But then they got to deal with the Constitution. You understand what I'm saying? It would be an insult for somebody to come to me as a Christian pastor, believe in the Bible, and want me to marry two men or two women. That would be an insult. I'm a Christian pastor. Then we go back to as being a Christian. You understand what I'm saying? Same thing as being a Christian, because there's so far they can go, and if they go beyond that, then you got to be like Daniel, you got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You don't want nobody and nothing to try to take you from what God has said. But you're not a politician, they're a politician. And politicians do what the people want them to do. Preachers, we have to do what God wants us to do. That's the way that goes. So don't be fearful. Then if they take your side, look at Daniel. Look at Daniel. And you know what? God trapped him down in Persia. He trapped him. when all of the wise men, and the same thing happening today, Nebuchadnezzar gave them an ultimatum. Say, you either tell me about my dream and tell me what they wanted to stall for time. He said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. See, I know what you want me to tell you what I dreamed, then you're going to come up with something and say, oh, king, live forever. He said, no. So you're going to tell me what I dreamed, my dream was, and you're going to give me the interpretation. Though your home's going to be put on the dung hill.
Oh.
Now, these people fed sumptuous. It was the same thing like it is today, just calling it another name, what I said from the room of academia. You know, you can't go up to the president except you invited.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. There's one law. And you know what that law? They're going to kill you.
Yes, Lord.
Mm. It's the same way back there. The kings, leaned on the agriculture ministries and all that. Look what they said Elijah said, tomorrow this time, there would be some food sold in the city. It was in a famine, but the agriculture man laughed at him. Said, if God wouldn't in heaven, that might have. He said it's gonna happen, but the irony of it, you won't be able to taste it.
Traveled in the street.
And
okay.
So there you go. We have to know when to take a stand on what's right. Because God, Now, let's go back to the homosexual. That is a phenomenon. It's a mystery to me. And the reason why I say it's a mystery, I'm not talking about people getting into institutions and get involved in a whole lot of stuff. But I have been there and walked the floor of the court of the hospital when the mother was in labor. I have been preaching and pastoring that long. And I have been there when they got him out of the nursery and brought him to the house of God, and we offered them and give them back to Jesus.
Mm.
You understand what I mean? But then the little boy act more like a girl, and the girl act more like a boy. I don't have the answer for that.
Don't have the answer for it.
No, ma'am, I do not have the answer for that. But I know it's wrong. And the reason why I know it's wrong, because God said it's wrong.
Mm.
And whether you agree with him or I agree with him, it's still wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have the answer. But I know one thing. They got a soul. They got a soul. And I think instead of we're doing a whole lot of talk, we should be a lot of walking and dealing with these people and letting them know what they need to do.
Oh. Wow.
They got a soul.
Amen. Well, Bishop, I know you. You have 12 children, 8 girls and 4 sons. Eight daughters and 4 sons. And your daughters, and you have your daughters and granddaughters that sing gospel music. Now we know the gospel music has changed dramatically, also. So
yes,
now,
ma'am.
You know, people are more geared into the beat of the music or what have you. We're transitioning to hip-hop gospel and all of these different arenas of music. How do you instruct your daughters and granddaughters and your grandson that singing professionally on the gospel circuit? How do you instruct them to keep themselves holy and uncontaminated by the worldly music and the worldly artists that are singing gospel music now, but it's a different flavor where really I find some of it offensive and it's not glorifying God? How do you advise them as they travel in this arena?
Well, you see, when my children first started out, you know, Fred Hammond, I married him to his first wife. When they started out with him, and I sit down and I gave them a lecture and advise what they should do and what to look for out there in the world. And people who've been in the world, they know what it means out there in the world. See, a lot of our children have not been exposed to a lot of this stuff out in the world. They just fresh meat out there. Do you understand?
Mm.
And I told them about what to do if they would stand for God, that God will bless them. This is a very competitive society that we're living in, and jealousy and all this is everywhere. And the people that know who they know, they're the ones that get the jobs and get exposed to whatever area. And, of course, you take today, the most of the people that is preaching got the big churches. They don't have to belong to no organization because they are organization within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they congregate together. They run with each other, you know, the big churches. And they fellowship with them, and they have that right to do that. But I told my children and things, I said that they've been on the road now for about 10 years or more.
Yeah.
14 years they've been out there. And I said, but if God bless you, you will be blessed. Nobody, here we go again. If God is for you, nobody can stop you. And they have been struggling for a long time and things of that, made albums and all that, you know. But now they just got back from Italy. And they've been singing over there. And they went over there with Dr. Bobby Jones. He just took them and some of the musicians. But they got to make up in their mind what they're going to do. Now some doors now God is opening for them. You see, God have to open doors for you, Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it yourself. And
hey,
because you got hypocrisy in the business you're in. You got some folk can't do what you're doing, but they can be jealous. You're not going to stop that. You might as well get out of the world if you ain't going to stop that. But you got to keep your eyes on the prize, and the prize is Jesus Christ.
Ooh,
and if he's for you, he's more than. That's why I'm so elated by you going back to New Orleans.
Oh, I'm so happy you're happy for me, Bishop. Work to do, I tell you.
I'm happy for you because souls is my thing. I want to see people saved. I don't want to see folks killing one another and drugs everywhere and all this. Listen, if we get God, you don't have to worry about the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about the liquor store if you get God. You don't have to worry about those things because what God would give inside, put inside of you, It dispels everything else that comes against you if you let it lead you. So that's what I would suggest that you should do, and you're doing a good job, and you have my prayers, and I'm praying for you night and day, all of you, the household of faith, that God will sustain you, and he can, within this dark hour of distress that we are living in.
Wow.
Did he answer you on that question? This is Verona.
Yes, Verona, he answered us. We're going to open up the lines. Now, thank you, Bishop. We have certainly enjoyed this time with you, and I tell you, you have certainly helped me. You've helped our listeners, and we're going to go to a few that have pressed the number one key on their phones to ask a question of you. So we're going to go to them. We have Minister Democrat. Amen. We're going to open up his. Well, before we go to him, he's a regular. Let's go to some new callers that we see on the line, and that's out of Michigan. Area code 313, and the last four of your number is 4668. God bless you, caller. Can you greet us and tell us who you are?
Yeah, God bless you. Amen. This is Sister Charity from Detroit, Michigan. Glory to God. And I just have sat here and just have been enjoying my bishop. Amen. God, I tell you the truth of those words. I'm telling you as words of wisdom that God certainly have given Bishop Singleton, and I've always been impressed whenever we sit under him. He's always got words to say to us, and I tell you the truth, he haven't missed a beat.
Thank you.
And so God bless you, I tell you, and we need this. We need these questions. Your colleagues that are asking the questions, they're asking some questions that is very relevant to the day that we're living in, and we need to have answers to these questions. Praise God. So you keep on, amen, being encouraged and continue to stay with God, and y'all remember us in your prayers. God bless you.
Stand the will, and that's why we send the evangelists and missionaries to see you all.
Yes, right. Sister Cannon, she was the one that was responsible for me for knowing that this particular program was on the air. She called me and said, make sure at 4 o'clock you turn on, Bishop is going to be teaching.
All right, God,
she's been down here to pray for us, and y'all sent that sent a van up here with all of the saints in there, and they have prayed for us, and I've just really been blessed, amen, by the Bread House.
All right. God bless you, Sister Charity.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Yes, I'm here, Adrian.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Charity. We got the God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to go. I see one of my cousins on the line, and he's not no stranger to this line. Bishop has had an opportunity to talk with him over the phone, and that's none other than Minister Maurice Moncur out of Hammond, Louisiana. So this is one of your cousins, Bishop. We're going to open up his line right now. God bless you, Maurice.
God bless you, Evangeline. It's just a privilege, and I think just to hear the words that's falling from the mouths of this bishop. I know my great-grandmother, Johnson Stoutmire, is just smiling and saying, you finally got it. You finally got it. We've been trying to find the seed that has been planted and that has been rooted in the Holy Ghost, and now I found it, and I share it with Adrian all of the time because, you know, being from New Orleans, we have parties if a roach dies. But we've been trying to find someone that says, listen, we stand on the word of God and we have an anointing upon our lives. Where is the people in our family? And now we have found the root. Bishop, it is an honor from the words that have fallen from your mouth. I've got it now. I've got it. And it is a pleasure to hear a prophetess, Dodie. Never have met her. We had a chance to meet Evangelist Jackie in California. We flew out to meet with her. But it is an honor. I thank you, my heart. My heart is overwhelmed. It is, I can't explain this moment. I'm here sharing with the family. We lost our drummer who was killed in the car accident on Saturday. And my nephew, who is also on the phone, who is Johnson's great-great-grandson, is on the phone. And I was trying to share in with this family, what they're going through. But only by the word of God and this division that we have and just said, hold on. He said, Uncle, listen, I need to hook you in to this broadcast. Your cousin is on. I say, cousin who? Bishop. And I come in here and I sit in the car and hearing the words from your mouth and from hearing from Prophetess Dodie and my cousin Evangelist Adrian. Some people get hyped about being kin to Michael Jordan. Some get hyped about being kin to all of these other stars. But I am so hyped to be kin to the bishop himself and to Dodie and to evangelists. This cannot even be paid for. This moment that God said, now is the time that you hear him. Now is the time that you hear Dodie. Now is the time that you hear your cousin evangelist. And I said, oh, my God. You don't know what you have done to me and for me this day. I love you so much. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you too, my brother. So nice to have you. And so honored to be able to do that. And that's what I live for, that I help somebody as I pass along, show somebody that they're traveling wrong, try to encourage somebody with a word of song. Then my living will not be in vain.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Well, God bless you, Maurice. We're going to have an opportunity to meet with Bishop. I think the midwinter, where is the midwinter this year, Bishop? Is it back
that's
in Jackson?
That's going to be in Georgia.
Oh, it's going to be in Georgia?
Down there where Preston is, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe Maurice will have an opportunity to get down there for the midwinter in March.
It would be nice.
You get an opportunity to meet Bishop. Amen,
amen.
We're going to area code 517, and the last four of your numbers, 3862. God bless you. Area code 517? Okay, you just dropped. Okay, well, let's go back to area code 901. The last four of your numbers, 5048. God bless you, caller.
God bless you. God bless you, Bishop Singleton. You probably be surprised to know who this is. This is your son, Joe Thompson from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, I know, Brother Joe.
Yeah. Bishop, I tell you, it just takes my mind way back to when I was living up in Michigan up there.
Yeah.
Hear those words falling from your lips. It just blessed me so much.
That's
and I will be calling you and just to talk to you and just to praise the Lord with you and God bless you and I love you.
Love you too, Joe, and I'm praying for you.
I know you are, Bishop.
Yes, sir, I'm praying for you. God bless
Amen.
You. Give my
well,
response.
Thank you for tuning in, Elder Thompson. God bless you.
Thank
Amen.
You.
We're going to go to Minister Democrat, and then I see Sister Albertine has her line open for a question, too. God bless you, Minister Democrat. God bless.
Amen, amen. The Bible says, even I call the young because they're strong and the older because they know the way. Amen. So, Bishop, we appreciate you. Amen. Quick question. Amen. You know, again, a lot of preachers coming up don't like to study. They don't like to read. It's a lot of hooping and hollering coming up. And that's why I say I appreciate, you know, you guys doing the testing, like the PCAF ordination test. And I would let you explain and just talk with us real briefly, like, you know, why do you think it's important that the preachers today getting ordained need to be tested? Because you got a lot of people say that, I don't need no test. God called me. I don't got to take no whatever, whatever. And then he get up there, and sometimes God didn't call them. You know, so, you know, could you explain, like, the importance of, like, the PCAF ordination test, if you would?
Well,
why do you agree with it?
Well, you need to be, it's a test of not only just being readiness, but to be in an institution that
yes.
has braved the winds of life and have stood the test and trying
Thank
to put Lord. Out qualified ministers, you know. And that's why Jesus had an organization, and Judas Iscariot was the treasurer. So,
He had all that money. Amen. That's right, Bishop.
He was both of them. So
yes, sir.
That's what I told you about being in a organization that stands for something. You have to have bylaws that
yes, sir.
Certify that institution. So all of that is contained with our minute book, our bylaws, our institution, our certificate, and credentials and all that. So we want people to know that we know that they are going out and will be able to do the job. Now, what have happened to us so many times? We, as I alluded to way back, we deal with an untrained ministry. Untrained.
Yes.
And that's what happened. That's why we changed so much. And do you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Amen. We can hear you, Bishop.
Yeah,
Bishop,
see,
we
that's
can
what
hear
happened.
You.
Ahead,
I guess Ron and them talking in the background. Go right ahead.
That's what happened to us why we changed so much, because we had an untrained ministry. You understand what I mean? So then everything came in, whether we believed it was right. If it didn't was right, where we live, we don't believe that. And I have been in where they said, let the last one shut the door and turn the light, let the door hit you in the back. And they haven't gotten any memos. You understand what I'm saying? But you got to be wise as certain
yes,
as doves. And we want to evolve in a more perfect union. That and just because I told you that about what I suffered from, everybody suffered from something, but I didn't do that from my own understanding. I did that because I couldn't help myself. I have a recollection that I can remember when my mother had me on her lap when I was 5 years old before I ever started grade school. Everybody haven't got that. But we want to do what is in us as God has given us the light to see that. And that's what we want to be important for our life and living, and try to acquire more knowledge. You know, see, learning should never be exhausted. We should always learn. Now, you hear this young man down in Tennessee and all other places. The people listening to me, they know I'm telling them the truth because they know the man of my life. I am a biography. You don't have to tell my mom, you know. And that's what I am, because I have lived, and I have lived a life with none of sins before God and man. And
thank
try
you,
to
Lord.
Do the, that's right. Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And it's important that they speak
God
the same thing,
you,
too. So God bless you. Amen.
Is that it, Minister Democrat?
No, I'm just going to add that, amen to God. It's important that everybody speak the same thing and they be on the same page.
As
that's why I definitely agree with that. I love that they give tests like that. Amen.
But that's what we're dealing with and not because of your educational status and all like that. We don't deal with those things because what I'm saying, who's going to now, suppose I had to be judged on my educational status when I left Alabama. You understand what I mean? I never
right.
would have made it. You see, but God bless me. And here I'm talking to you, and I can talk to anyone. I don't say that from exhaustion, being exhausted.
Thank you, Lord.
But doing that from a humble way, because I have arrived. There's nothing else in life that I want to do but go to him.
All right.
Amen. 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 Well, let's go to area code 517-4340. God bless you. Caller.
Was you on top? Huh?
Hello?
You like to say something you can. If not, we can move on.
Hello?
Yes, God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Who am I speaking with?
This is Bishop Eggleton from Jackson, Michigan.
God bless you.
And I want to say that if you follow Bishop Singleton, you'll never go wrong.
Ah!
He and I were in his service together. And all that he said to you today, follow it. You'll never go wrong. We've been friends for a long time. We've been in his service together. So follow Bishop Singleton, and you'll never go wrong. God has blessed wisdom. God has blessed him with wisdom. I have followed his teaching, and God has blessed me to this day. Follow Bishop Singleton, because he is God's man for today. Thank you.
My. Amen. Now, your name is Bishop Eggleton?
Bishop Archie Eggleton. Jackson,
Bishop
Michigan.
Archie Eggleton. Okay. Well, God bless you.
37 miles from Lansing, where Bishop Singleton resides. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen, Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him God bless you, Bishop.
God
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, Bishop Archie Eggleton.
It was a pleasure.
God bless you. Amen.
Bless you.
We're going to Prophetess Darlene Davis. And then to Sister Albertine. God bless you, Prophetess Davis.
Praise the Lord. I didn't have anything to say, but I'm just truly blessed. I didn't push number one. I got cut off and I had to come back home. But I'm truly blessed today. I just thank God for the bishop, and I have been encouraged. I have really been enlightened and strengthened by the word and the wisdom and the knowledge. So I am truly blessed. Thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you, daughter.
Amen. Sister Albertine, God bless you.
God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, and Sister Ruby, all the callers, and Bishop Singleton. I came on a little late. It was when Evangelist Bernard was asking you the question about homosexuality, and that really summed up a lot. Thank you for that. Also, the question that I have is that, you know, being a Christian, when you're trying to reach out and help people and do right by people, and then they turn around and they do wrong, and then that wrong is brought to justice, but you feel bad, you know, is that right? Is that a right emotion to have and still, you know, want to help them, still want to support them? It's just something that I've always dealt with. Like there was a person who I trusted and took advantage of one of my children, and then when I found out they were arrested, I fell into tears. I went immediately and started praying for that person, and I went into tears. Is that a right emotion? Should I feel that way, or
that's
I don't know.
Human, that's a human emotion for your child, and you have the right to do that. And even with the household of faith, the Bible said we should rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those who are very morbid in their mourning. But you know, you don't feel good standing against people that are wrong. You do that because the love of God in your heart, you want to do what's right. And because of that, you know, you get the guilt feeling sometimes, but you got to stand for what's right, that God will help them. There are people that I stood against in my ministry. They are like one of my children now. He want to take me someplace, drive for me, and I stood toe-to-toe. And I always say that don't take my meekness for weakness, because you can grow me as tall as you want. I'm going to stand for what is right, because God says that right.
Amen.
That's where you have to do that. My wife is in Cleveland today because her late husband's son, nephew, was killed standing at the bus stop in Cleveland on his way to work. So it's danger everywhere, and you got to take the Lord along with you. But the law is for the lawless, and we have to agree with that because God said so.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless
Amen.
You,
Amen. We're gonna go to Lady Mars. Amen. God bless you, Lady Mars. Thank you, Sister Albertine. Lady Mars.
God bless you all. I didn't have a question, but I just came in for maybe about 30 minutes, and what I've heard from Bishop Singleton has just been, the word has been rich, and just hear the profound things of one of our outstanding bishops. I always love Bishop Singleton, his preaching and singing, along with his teaching and along with his family. God bless you all.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. We're going to go to Minister. Thank you, Lady Morris. We're going to go to Minister Aaron Singleton, who is one of the sons of Bishop, and he's a faithful supporter of this ministry, a soul winner, I call him. Amen. And then we're going to go back to Dr. Winston Singleton and Prophetess Glover. No, before them, Sister Ruby, and then we're going to close on out. Thank you, Bishop. This has been a beautiful day, a beautiful day. So, Minister Singleton, Aaron, God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is an honor to be on here
praise
with
Lord,
my dad.
Sir.
Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be on here with my dad when he was teaching. I've been telling him down through the years that, you know, I could see him. This is what God showing me with him right now, the teaching and preaching, that what he's doing. And so it's an honor. That's why I was telling you, evangelism, Bernard, my cousin, and Dr. Winston, Winnie, and all that, Roni, and all. But I was just saying that it's an honor to have my father on this broadcast like this, because I could see him like this, because we need him in the time like this. It's like his best friend, Bishop Egerton, from the organization. And he was saying the same thing, you know, go follow my father. He's telling you the truth, because he is the way that God is using him for the time like this and the season like this. Like he said, a lot of his friends is gone, but God is using them in a time like this because we need them. There's so many false prophets and so many people out here calling themselves a child of the king and not, you know what I'm saying. But it's just an honor how the Lord is using my father like this. Like I say, he'll be here 100-some years if God allows it to happen in these last, in the evil days. And what you said today was just so powerful and anointed. And y'all ain't seen nothing. Y'all ain't heard nothing yet. So this right here, just a scratch. You ain't heard nothing yet. Love y'all, though.
Amen, amen. We're going to Sister Ruby, our co-host. And then we'll close it on out in a few.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I said I'm going to have to say Bishop Alfred, because Dr. Singleton's father's a bishop, too, in L.A. and Los Angeles. But it was just a blessing, the words, and you know what, the anointing that comes from you that the Lord has put in you, plus the kindness and caring for God's precious people. I felt the love that, oh, glory, that flowed from you for the God's people, and to encourage us and to teach us and to learn to walk with the Lord and let him be your God, the 66 books of this Holy Bible. So I have been so excited. I was up jumping and hollering, and I was just jumping, you know, and I'm a senior citizen, so I was moving these balls for you, Bishop Alfred. So God bless you. It's been a blessing. God bless.
God bless
amen,
you.
Amen. We're going to, is Verona there? Sister Verona. Verona is named after Bishop's late mother, and she spoke for us on this week, Tuesday, matter of fact. So I tell you, it's a blessing to be able to see the fruits of your labor, Bishop. So if Verona is there, we'd like her to have a comment, and then we're going to go back to Dr. Singleton and Prophetess Glover and close them out. Verona?
Right.
Praise the Lord, all the people of God that are listening on the radio broadcast today. And again, I just say I thank God for this, bringing us to this, connecting me to Evangelist Bernard and this ministry. I just thank God. And I'm just elated. I was hearing and learning things myself that I am just absorbing and absorbing. And I will say this, for myself, I am going to be, I'm the sixth child. And I'll say this, he has been a now-day example for me in my life that I live, and I'll be 55 years old. And everything that he is saying in the word of God that he was bringing, all the wisdom that was just coming forth, it is right. I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful that I didn't miss a bit of it. And I just thank God for all of it. And I thank God for him, and I'm humbled that he is my father. I just thank God for him, the man of God that he is. And I will say I'm a witness that he has stood for righteousness through the righteousness of God in him, and he has stood for what is right. And for when he's saying, if we have to go to the days of like with Daniel in the lion's den, we're going to have to do that. We got to stand on the word of God, and that's it. And we have to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll be blessed.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Verona. We thank God for her. She's been very supportive of this ministry, and I just see God doing some things. Bishop said, and also Minister Aaron, you know, Aaron is going to spread the word everywhere he goes. So it just, Bishop, I tell you, I'm just so full just to know that, you know, you're doing what God has called you. I came out of the streets of New Orleans, and my great-grandmother was Bishop's mother's sister, and her brother was the two that relocated from Alabama to New Orleans. So I have we have a large extended family there in New Orleans, and I've been gone for 30 years. And, you know, before Aunt Liz passed, Aunt Liz, even while she was living, she would always encourage me and tell me, Angel, she said, God is going to bless you. And even when my daughter was murdered and I had to take these children, I could always hear Aunt Liz saying, God is going to bless you. But I never really knew what God would do for my life. I've been gone 30 years, and I didn't know anything about holiness, but I went because my great-grandmother told me to go and meet her nephew, which is Dr. Singleton's father. And she said, he's going to help you. And truly, I was introduced to holiness. And I haven't been in and out of this thing. I've been in it. And I have served under some great men of God, and it's in our DNA, and that's what I am. I'm a servant. I love God's people, and whatever I can do for his ministry, I'm always excited. I have a passion for bringing people together. You know, New Orleans has its own culture, and we live to party, so I know how coordinating events and bringing people together, that's a gift that I have. I did it in the world, and I'm doing it now in the kingdom of God. So when God spoke to me about almost 2 years ago about going home, you know, I didn't know what it was all going to entail. But as God began to continue to open up doors for me and allow me to connect with people of all denominations, I tell you, I marvel at 2 years on this radio broadcast, and we're on here Monday through Friday consistently. We don't take holidays off, and when I look at the stats and see that we have been able to reach over 67,000 listeners, it just make me to know that whatever God speak in your spirit, see, God will give you visions, and everybody don't understand the vision that God has given you. But if God, as Bishop said earlier, if God give you a vision, I don't care if my mother don't see it. I don't care if my children or my grandchildren don't see it. If God speak it to me, he gives me the strength, and I'm able to see those visions begin to manifest themselves. So I'm going back to do ministry, and I just believe it. One of my cousins that's on the line, Maurice, he is also a minister and a minister of music. He teaches music. Amen. And I see some of my family members that God have anointed to preach and teach this gospel, those that are gifted in the area of music, and we have all kinds of gifts. So I'm going back with the mind to say, to be a witness, to be a light. Even Maurice, I have a 10-year-old nephew, and this boy, Bishop, is anointed to preach and sing. He can preach and sing. 10 years old, he has an anointing. He had an opportunity to come on our radio broadcast, and some of our listeners heard him. 10 years old. So God knows in our mother's womb what we are to become. Amen. So I'm a part of me is sad because I'm leaving my sister here, but I just believe that my sister is next in line for a miracle. And when I heard President Obama pardon 21 people and eight of them sentences, that gave me hope. And the Lord gave me a peace in my spirit. He said, don't worry about Danielle. I got Danielle. You just go and do what I've called you to do. That glory to God, what I've called you to do. So I'm going, amen, in the strength of God. And I know one thing. I haven't served God for almost 30 years, and he would abandon me. He allowed me to raise all of my grandchildren. So now, the next chapter of my life, for the rest of my life, I am going to serve the Lord because he's been good to me. He is the one that has caused me, hallelujah, to have a peace. And I say that with all of my heart, that the peace that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Amen. Because if I had depended upon the world, I would have let go a long time ago. So I'm going to take the man of God's testimony and say, I once was young, but now I'm getting old. I'm not old yet, but I'm getting there. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. And I thank him, amen, for my foundation. I thank him, amen, for my grandmother and my great-grandmother. I thank him for everything that I've had to go through, because guess what? It has made me who I am today. And I'll say to anybody, I won't take nothing for this journey. You can't buy me. Amen. Because if you was able to buy me, you would have bought me 30 years ago, and I wouldn't have been exposed to this wonderful opportunity to serve God. Hallelujah. I thank him. Amen. I thank Bishop Singleton for still being in the land of the living, 85 years old, still teaching and preaching the gospel of God, still, hallelujah, hauling up the bloodstained banner. I bless him today, and I tell you, today I have just fulfilled some things that God had already promised me. And just to hear him on this line with the blood still running through his veins, we're not celebrating him laying before us in a sealed casket, but we're able to hear him. We're able to glean from him. We're able to still call him on the telephone and ask him. I remember when God
and I'm going to let it go. I remember when God first started dealing with me about preaching, I called Bishop Alfred, and I told him I was listening to a message that he had preached. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, and guess what? That message was preached at Christ Temple Church here in Stockton. And Bishop, if you remember, I began to tell Bishop how the Lord had begun to deal with me, and I began to preach to myself. And I didn't know in the next couple of months that my uncle was going to die. And I had an opportunity to preach my first message to my family. So I tell you, if God is dealing with you, and the Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. I'm a called one, and I'm a chosen one, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Dr. Singleton, Winston, oh, glory to God. God bless him today. Thank you, Jesus.
Alfred, hearing your voice, I've always admired you, as I said. You know, I'm going to leave with these words, and I'll give it over to a prophetess, Glover. But the Bible says, it says, to mark the perfect man.
Mark the perfect man.
Now, I just turned 49 on Tuesday. My birthday is January. And, Alfred, I want to say, when I grow up, I want to be just like you, having a passion and preaching the word of God and affecting people's lives as you have. So thank you, Uncle Alfred, for continuing to allow God to use you and inspire young men like myself and others, and just keep up the good work. And one thing I didn't want to say, I want to try to mimic you if I can. Now, you
thank
know
you.
When it, do God's word when it, God will bless you, see. So God bless you and live long, uncle. Thank you in Jesus' name.
All right. God bless you, my son.
Right. Bishop. He can mimic you, Bishop.
Well,
all right, Prophetess Glover, thank you, Dr. Singleton. You did a wonderful interview. And this interview will be live on YouTube. So you all can go back and listen to this, and you can listen also on our Facebook and our Twitter page at New Destiny 54. We mean kingdom business. Amen. So Prophetess Glover, we're going to have her with the last words, and we're going to give it over to Bishop, and he can close us out in whatever manner he likes to. Thank you, Bishop. Prophetess Glover.
Amen. I'm going to be very quick here, but I wanted to just say this is just in my heart, and it actually coincides with what Dr. Singleton said, and that is the love, the respect, and the honor that I have for Bishop Alfred. I don't just have to say it on this line. He knows it privately. But he has been a constant, Bishop, you've been a constant inspiration to me to, first, as a person, to live morally upright and as a Christian. And I've always respected you for that because you've done this by example, whether it was in Alabama, whether it was in Atlanta here with me, and the level of encouragement that you've given me to continue to do the work, even and I'm very emotional about it, even when it's been hard for me. And it's been some dark days. But
Man,
today I was asking you, how did you do it and walk by faith, even when you couldn't see it. But I'm so encouraged today in listening to you and encouraged from that you've given me over the years, because when the dark days came, and I remember one day I called you and I said, Bishop, I said, it's so hard for me now. And you said, Dolly, this is what you got to do. And this is how I made it. And, Bishop, I just want to say thank you for being the bishop, the man of God. And thank you for being the uncle, the father, the example that you've been to us in the family.
Yeah.
You preached the gospel when it was popular, you preached it when it wasn't popular. But more
right.
than anything, you live the gospel that you preach so that we could be the people that we are now. And nobody can tell us any differently because you've shown us. You've shown us through word and deed the example that we need to follow. And so today I'm encouraged, not just as a female preacher, not just as a niece, but as the woman of God, as the person that you've led us to be. So for this I say thank you, and may the Lord continue to heal
your body, to keep you mentally, to keep you emotionally, physically, financially, to do the work that he's called you to do so that others may be able to do that, that they've been called by God to do. So thank you. And lastly, again, I say thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Dodie. I thank you, Adrian.
She gonna give you that.
And I thank all of you, and I'm humbled by what you're saying. And I hope to see you, Dodie, down in Georgia in March. Maybe we can reminisce and come back together as we did in Atlanta. You showed me such a wonderful time there, and I never will forget that. So, Evangelist Bernard, is that right?
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes, Bishop, yes.
I want you to do and go in the strength of God.
Mm.
You go in the strength of God.
Ah, Jesus.
And God will stand by you.
Thank you.
He will see you through, and I can see something that is expanding now.
Yes, it is.
Mm.
I can see something. If we get out of the way and let God do it.
Hey, Jesus.
And, you know, I don't ever want to get to a place to play God. This is God's church.
Hey,
and the only thing we have to go by is the Word of God, the Bible.
Hey.
And that's what I have had trouble with men.
And
that,
Jesus.
So the Bible is right.
Yes.
And so we God going to have him somebody in this last day to do just this.
Yes.
And he going to, if one going to do it, you take women. They going to raise up women.
Yes.
And that's what he's doing today. And if we go according to his word, we'll come out fine and come out good. All right. And I thank you for, this is an honor for me to appear on this, and you got an outstanding program. I can detect that, and I can see not to the latitude that it's going to be. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Thank you.
You will be able to reach people all over the world.
Hallelujah.
New day and new knowledge. Knowledge have increased. And I just thank God for my family and all. So I'm happy. And anytime that you want me to come on, just let me know. Let me know, and we'll try to oblige you and those out there in the listening audience of it, in Jesus' name. So it has been a blessing. And
honor
for my nephew and all that, you know, to be on here with me. And I see the of our family, what you're talking about, and I pray for all of them. And God have brought us from a mighty long ways.
Thank you, God.
And to thank God for you and for your family. And let's keep your sister up before the Lord. I'm praying for her.
Yeah.
That God will work a miracle. He will. He will.
Hallelujah.
As sure as we sit down here, he will. And God can save her, too. She's still young.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to keep praying. Thank you so much.
Amen.
And we love
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. We'll let you close us out with a word of prayer. Amen.
Right.
Again, we just have been, I tell you, I know the listeners have been blessed, and my heart is full, and I'm still rejoicing. I thank God to just be able to be this vehicle that he can use. So we just bless you, Bishop, if you would just bless the line
right.
and just close us out with a word of prayer. Thank you, God.
I shall. Our Father in God, we thank you for this day that you have brought to bear. And, oh, God, we thank you for our relatives that you have put in their hearts to serve you in this dark and evil day. Thank you for my nephew. And thank you for all of the household of faith, those listeners out there. Those did not call in today, but oh God, let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be accepted in thy sight. We'll magnify you, honor you, glorify you in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. We appreciate you laboring with us as long as you have. God bless you. We're looking for God to extend everything that he has promised you. And I know most of the promises God has already fulfilled. So God bless you all. We're going to close out. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Provoke Fridays with Pastor. God bless you, Dr. Singleton. A sister, Charity, God bless you. Minister Aaron.
So good to make it.
God bless you all. Sister Ruby, thank God for.
And I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit. I said, surely this is it.
Is it?
But I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much, I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life, for my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I fell, I was reminded of your nails. So held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life, for my life. Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen. Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Oh, but I'm still here. Oh, with my life. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized. But to see your face one day, God, I know it's thank you for. I know it was you, God. I just want to take the time to say thank you, Jesus, for my life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah.